Sometimes it's unintentional. But, you know, they make commitments and they don't show up. You know, they make mistakes. They just disappoint you. They fail to show up. They fail to do some things. They're disloyal. And sometimes it's not intentional. You know, and you could probably think of some individuals like that. But then there's that fourth group. There are people around us and people that you've experienced who are destructive. Their goal is to destroy you. You know, they have words, they have attitudes, they have actions. You know, they just want to cause problems. You ever seen people like that? You ever been around people like that? All they do is stir the pot, you know, and cause problems. You guys are really quiet. Yeah. You're afraid to say something, somebody might hear you, look at you. Yeah. But how do you deal with that? You know, we're talking about we got to treat everybody with love. We just love everybody. You know, and then you got these very draining people over here who are, you know, demanding and difficult and disappointing, and they're just, how do we deal with that? I mean, come on, you say love everybody, and this jerk over here is trying to kill me. You know, how do we deal with that? Here's what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angry. What is it? Anybody? Love. All right, you guys got it. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Now, that's easy to say. But how does that work in the real world? How does that work when you got that very draining person who is difficult? They're obnoxious. They irritate you. Just being in the same room drives you crazy. Come on. You know, how do you do this when you're around that person who literally is sticking you in the back? You know, they're smiling in the face, you know, they want to hug you, and you're always looking for the knife when they're hugging you. How do you deal with these? How do I deal with this? You know, and we begin with, we're going to talk about rude, and I just want, I want to do a survey. I want you guys to think about this for a minute. You only get one. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what is the rudest thing that just irritates you the most. What is that? What is that thing that just, yeah, just turn to them and tell them, you know, when da-da-da-da-da, what is it? Come on, you got 5 seconds. I don't even have a watch. What is that irritate you the most? Come on, I mean. You guys are awful quiet. What, you afraid to tell them because they're the one? It just pushes, you know, for me, you know what irritates me when you're eating and you're drinking something and somebody slurps, I just irritate, you know, it's just, yeah. Or how about you go to the grocery store and you're in the aisle, you know, you're in the lane that's 10 items or less and they got 11? That's rude, okay? Yeah. Or you know what, yeah, here's rude. This would be number one. Oh, wait, I better not say that. You know, it's when you're preaching and you cover your last point and they fill that last blank in and they close their Bible and shut everything down. I shouldn't have said that one. Yeah, I mean, you know. I tell you one that, you know, here is number one on my list is that stinking cell phone. You know, you ever somebody's talking and you think they're talking to you, but they got that thing plugged in their ear? You know, I think that's rude. It's like, are they talking to me? I don't know. How do you deal with, you know, how do you deal with life with all this kind of stuff in our life? People that you know, they're hard to love. They're demanding. They're difficult. They just let you down. You know, how do you deal with it? So I want to kind of look at this. We're going to kind of go through some Bible verses. And I got 4 marks of love: rude, self-seeking, not easily angered, and keeps no records of wrongs. So if you get your outline out, let's look at this. The Bible says love is not rude, so I must be tactful, not just truthful. I have to be tactful and not just truthful. We need to think about how we speak. Am I being tactful? We kind of talked about this because it kind of went with last week's lesson also as we looked at how we confront people. We talked about the right time and we talked about the right attitude. We talked about the right motivation. We just got done doing that in our Sunday school class. But what happens when you get somebody in your life that, I got to tell the truth even if it hurts. I've got to lay this out. I don't care what they think. I've just got to tell it like it is. You know, and that's their problem. Is that really the best way to communicate? Or is that rude? Yeah, is it, you know, yeah, we got to speak the truth. Yeah, I got to say what's right and what's wrong, and I got to talk about the truth. But how do I say it? You know, if somebody walks up to me and tells me I'm messed up, I would go, duh, okay? I mean, it is no surprise to me that Gary is messed up, that Gary can be a jerk, that Gary can be a pain, that, and you guys are going, okay, I hear you, even though you're not saying it out loud, I can tell by your heads nodding and the eyebrows raising, and I could see that. You know, nobody needs to tell me that. But what I need to hear is how it could be, how it should be, how it may be. You know, Gary, when you do da-da-da-da-da-da-da, why don't you try da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Does that make sense? Tactful, you know, that's being tactful. I got to say the truth, but I got to do it with tact. You know, what we often, and here's one of the struggles that I look at when I look at people. We often look at people as where they should be instead of where they came from. And I think there's a big difference. We need to be looking at what could be and how it can be. And we need to speak that truth. You know, when I want to speak the truth, what I want to do is I want to say, yeah, it's messed up right now, but here's the next step. Here's the next challenge. You've conquered these situations, and you've overcome these challenges, but let's move on to the next. Instead of saying, well, you're not there yet. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Did I ever say anything like that to you? Yeah. And we need to step back, and we need to see that. Look at what it says. Stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one. I like that. Don't yell at one another. Don't yell at one another. Don't curse each other. All right? Isn't that the way we communicate? If you don't hear me the first time, I'm going to yell it so you can hear me the second time. Yeah. Instead of trying to explain, you didn't get it the first time. You didn't understand what I said, so I'm going to get louder, right? That way you'll understand. Yeah. Cursing. I mean, you know, if you don't get it, I mean, I'm gonna add all those four-letter words, and we'll just tweak it up a little bit, and then you'll get the picture. Yeah. Don't yell at one another. Don't curse each other, or ever be rude. Instead, be kind and merciful, forgiving others, just as God forgave you because of Christ. Yeah. We need to think about how we speak and our words that we say, and how we say what we are. We using tact? Are my words the right words? You need to know, this is one thing that I've talked to Laura and we've talked about. You know, I can make people feel, I never forgot this. I worked at the movie theater. Let me go to this one. I worked at the movie theater and I couldn't say bad things, okay? I was 18 years old. I was assistant manager. You all know, I've told you the story, my plaid jacket, my white shoes, you know, the cane, the cigars. You know, I mean, it went to my head, all right? I admit, I was really messed up, okay? You know, but one guy was really wanted to cause trouble, and I can't do anything. And I didn't want to say anything. And so he was pushing my button, and so I didn't want to say anything bad, so I said, you're just a little puke. Yeah. And boy, he bowed up. He wanted to fight me. I didn't say anything. I didn't say a bad word. Yeah. But that was bad, wasn't it? Yeah. But see, we do things like, we play games like that. We got to watch our words. We got to be careful with our words. Stop being bitter. Stop. I like what it says. It says stop it. Which means what? It's already going on. Do any of us have any bitterness in us? Any of us have any anger in us? Yeah. Any of us a little mad with someone else? You know, we ever have any of that stuff going on? You know, it's, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm full up to here. Anybody been? You know, and it says stop that. Stop that. We need to watch our words. Look at what it says here. Look at this. A wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. Yeah. When somebody starts yelling and cussing at me, you know what that does? You know what I do? It's like, I didn't hear a word you said. You could be right. It could be, you know, you might be making a good point. But when you're yelling and cussing, I could care less what you have to say. Because I don't, you know. What's persuasive is kind words. You know, and how you say it makes a bit of difference. You know that tone? You know, the tone. You know, if I say hello, everybody's okay. If I go, hello, well, you know what, you know, does that kind of change what I'm saying a little bit? You know, hey, hello there. You know? Your tone makes a big difference. You guys are laughing at me. You know, your tone makes, we got to think about those things when we talk. That's being tactful. Yeah, we got to pay attention. We got to be careful. How are words? Are they persuade? Are they pleasant words? You know, what's the old saying? You can get more flies with honey. Isn't that something? I don't know how that went, but whatever it said. Yeah, we got to think about how our words are. And so, if you're going to deal with difficult people, the people who irritate you, the people who push your button, the people who agitate you, the people who just you just have a difficult time with. Don't be rude. Be tactful and not just truthful. You know, here's what I want to say. Rise above it. Don't return evil for evil. You know, this is a, you know what? If you're gonna push somebody in the mud, I got news for you. You're gonna get muddy. Okay? If you're going to get somebody and you're going to push somebody in the mud, you're going to get muddy. You can't help it. I want to say rise above it. You know, with difficult people, don't get on their level. Rise above that. Be tactful and not just truthful with difficult people. But you know, there's also some people in our lives that are demanding. It's their way. They got to have it. They know the right way. You're always wrong. You got to get straightened out, and I got to fix it, and I'm the one that's going to do it. Here's the way it is. They're demanding. They're pushy. How do you deal with those kind of people? And here's what I got as you look at your outline. Oh, I got a lot of verses to read on that last one, on this next one, don't I? Look at what it says. I must be understanding, not demanding. All right? I must be understanding, not demanding. Again, don't get on their level. Rise above their level. Don't do what they're doing and be on their level. Because see, have you ever heard anybody? It's my right. It's my right. You got to give me my rights. That's demanding. Look at what the scripture says. Because I think Jesus is the best one to illustrate this. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. I want you to really think about these. We want our rights. I deserve. I've earned. It's my right. You ever been on the telephone with somebody and they want their rights? You ever go to, maybe you're dealing with one of the utility companies or you're dealing with it and it's my right and they're beating on the counter? A bank? People want their rights, and that's demanding. And this verse says, look, it's not about being demanding. It's really, I like that last part. He made himself nothing. He took on a humble position of a slave and appeared in a human form. Here's the question, if you want to talk about being demanding, is this question. How do you treat those who serve you? Isn't that what it says? Jesus served. How do you treat those who serve you? How do you treat that waitress at the restaurant? How do you treat that teller at the bank? How do you treat those who serve you? You know, that secretary that you talk to on the phone. How do you treat those who serve you? Well, it's my right. You got to get this. Now, you know, we do have to straighten things out. We do have to get some things in proper perspective, but we got to go back and we need to think about how we treat others. See, that demanding right, it's mine and I got to have it and I'm right and you're wrong and I'm going to straighten you out. That we need to step back and think about how we treat others that serve us. You know, how do you treat that person? You know, I always say, how do you treat that that person at the window at McDonald's. You know, when you order, you're trying to make your order. You know, you got that machine there, and the voice is going, and you can't get your order right. You know, how do you treat them? You get your bag, and you look in it, and it ain't right, so you go in there yelling. Taco Bell's, well, never mind, I'm not going to go there. They're just as bad as anybody, all right? But we have this idea. We need to think, how am I treating others? Am I demanding? See, love does not demand on its own. And we need to see that. Look at what this next verse says as it kind of elaborates. Believers shouldn't curse anyone or quarrelsome, but should be gentle and show courtesy. Show courtesy. Are we courteous? Am I kind to others? Or is it my rights? You're here to serve me. I'm going to give you a tip. Stay out of the rain. I always think about this. I remember one time when I was talking with some professors at school, and we were discussing this, and he goes to meetings, and these preachers, okay, preachers can be really bad, okay, and I'm messed up, all right? But they're riding a taxi cab. He said, I'm riding a taxi cab with these preachers, and they get out. Instead of giving the guy a tip, they put the money in a tract that tells them how to become a Christian. Is that courteous? Well, that's their job. What about somebody like me who goes to Target and you get some things and you decide you don't want it? Where do you put it? Whatever shelf's closest, right? Come on now. It's like, I'm not going to get this after all. It's in the shampoo section, but I put this DVD over there now. I changed my mind. Got to give somebody a work, right? If I didn't do that, they wouldn't have a job. We demand things, don't we? We expect things. And it's like we got to be courteous, even to those who serve us, that we think, well, they're supposed to serve. That's their job. See, we don't demand our own rights, and we don't live in that way. Look at this next verse. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense. His wisdom gives him patience. See, are we understanding? I like this. I had three B's that I wanted to bring out here. Again, this came from the study that we're going to be doing this week. Because this is one of the things I use for my life when I look at people and they irritated me or they're bugging me or there's something wrong. There's something it's just not right. The one I always like, I never thought about these other two, but this is one I really thought was really great. What is the background? What do they have experienced? We're so quick and easy. We used to have a saying of looking at others. But you'd never know anything until you walked in someone's shoes. See, if you don't know where they came from, you don't know what experiences they've had. I think this is really important. To understand people, you got to understand their background. What's happened to them? If I'm going to overlook an offense, I need to, what happened in their life? Why did they act this way? Why did they behave this way? We were talking about a story this morning in my life in our Sunday school class. I'm not going to elaborate on it. I've done it in the past. But I always think about this individual, what it must have been like in their life. She was adopted at 5 years old, knew who her dad was, but nobody else knew. And she knew. And I thought, and she's kind of crazy. She's kind of whacked out. I'll say those kinds of things about her. But I always wonder what it must have been like. Do you think some of that past experience and knowing all of that has affected who she is today? See, we need to understand the background of somebody. Another B that he had in here, as you look at the understanding individuals, what about the battles they're fighting? What about the battles going on right now? You ever had somebody who had a bad day and they're coming home and they're mad at you and you didn't do anything yet? Yeah, I didn't say anything. Why are you jumping down my throat? Anybody been in that one? I put people in that one. No comment, Laura. The battle, you don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe they just got chewed out by their boss. And their boss just laid it out for them. And now they got to deal with you and you're not in a good mood either. Or maybe you're in a good mood and they're not. I love Christmas shopping. I do. Laura and I, we like going out Christmas Eve and Christmas Day shopping. We do. I've been in line and I've watched these people just yell and scream at this lady at Target one time. And I'm next in line. I just went up and I said, I'm sorry you had to hear that. It's not her fault. Everybody else bought the thing, not her. She didn't buy the last one. What do we do? We don't know the battles they're fighting. And so we don't understand that. And we don't know what burdens they have. See, I don't know what's burdening them. Maybe there's something they're carrying around and there's a burden that's in their heart and in their life. See, and I think it's so easy for us not to understand these things as we look at others. And overlook an offense. I can't overlook that. We're gonna come back to this area as we wrap up this morning, because I think this is how do you deal with a demanding person? We don't know what's going on. Why did they become that way? What happened in their life? Are they that middle child? Don't you love middle children? It's fun to be the oldest, okay? The oldest is the best, all right? Yeah. We don't know what's gone on in those families' life, and it's a challenge. And so we need to understand the background. We need to understand the battles. We need to understand the burdens that people have if we're going to deal with the demanding people in our life and what's going on. And I want to wrap up with this one right here as we look at this point right here. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. How do you want to treat others? How do you want to be treated? There's a name for this. It's called the what? Oh, golden rule. All right. The rabbis had one, okay? The rabbis, the religious leaders during this time had a really nice one. Probably most of us like this one better. Do it to others before they do it to you. Literally, that's what they would say. Do unto others before they do it unto you. That's not how most of us do it. Well, they're going to steal from me. I might as well. So here's how you deal with demanding people. It's like, wait a minute, okay? I'm going to be understanding and not demanding. I'm not going to get down on their level. All right? I'm going to understand who they are. I'm going to understand their battles. I'm going to understand their background. I'm going to understand the burdens they have. And I'm going to work through that with them. Look at the third group of people. We're going to kind of move on to the disappointing people. And again, I want to, as we talk about disappointing people, I want to make sure sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it's just them. And we don't understand that. So I put it this way. I must be gentle, not judgmental. With disappointing people, it's so easy to judge them. It's so easy to criticize them. It's so easy to find fault with them. See, with disappointing people, they're disloyal, whatever it is, and we see all those things. Look what the scripture says. Brothers and sisters, if someone in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help make him right again. But be careful, because you might be tempted to sin too. That's a very interesting verse for me. Because the reality is, we're all going to have disappointing people in our lives. You need to understand, I'm probably going to disappoint some of you at some point. Maybe I've already done it. Because anybody here perfect yet? We all have disappointing. So how are we going to deal with this? What are we going to do? And I like what he's sitting here saying. Listen, you need to help somebody. You need to restore them. To me, this talks about the motive. Why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? Because, there's a difference between judgment and judgmental. There's nothing wrong. The truth is judgment, all right? Judgmental is when I dictate the consequences. That's judgmental. When I set up, this is what the consequences are going to be. When I determine that. Judgmental is when I hold it over somebody's head. All right, and so there's a difference between being judgmental and judging. The truth judges. So it really boils down to, what's my motive? Why am I doing it? It comes back to, do I see what could be? Do I see what should be? Do I see people where they're at, or do I see people where they want to be? Jesus was judgmental. I talked about it last week. Jesus was judgment, called them hypocrites, told Peter to get behind me, Satan, called his disciples the faithless. Where's their faith? I mean, he laid it out. But they knew where his heart was. They knew where his life was. And his goal was for them to become better. to become more what God wanted them to be, to become more what God would have them to be. And so we need to see this in our lives. And it says, be careful. And this is one that really bugs me. Be careful because you might be tempted to sin. What does that have to do with it? How am I tempted to sin when I'm trying to help somebody, when I'm trying to restore somebody? Can I fall into that sin with them? Or can I fall into another sin? Pride? Can I fall into the sin of pride because I'm not there and look where they're at? Can I fall into the sin of judgmentalism? And so what he's sitting here saying is, listen, we need to help one another, restore one another, help each other become better, but be careful. Be careful because you can fall into sin. You know, your words, your attitude, your actions can lead you down the wrong path. So this is what it says. Look at what it says. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up our mind to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Stop doing it. Don't put something in their way. Think about what you're saying. And it begins when we look at ourselves. Do you see that first part? So then each of us will give an account of himself. You know, someday I got to stand before God. I've shared this with you. And I'm going to have to explain to God everything I did. And what's even worse than that, it's like it's not just me. I'm going to have to explain everything I did as pastor of this church. Every decision, everything I led, everything I accomplished. I'm going to have to give an explanation for it. And I'm going to tell you, that's scary sometimes. The Bible says, don't everybody desire to be a leader because there's more accountability in that responsibility. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, it's a privilege to be a pastor. I love it. I love people. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want you to become all that God wants you to be. That's my heart's desire. And someday I'm going to have to stand before God and explain every relationship, every word, even those that I wish I could put back in my mouth. I have to give an explanation for. And so what he's sitting here saying, before you start looking at someone else, begin by looking at yourself. I'm going to have to talk to so-and-so, but before I do, I might want to settle this in my life. I might need to answer this for myself. And I think that's a challenge for us as we look at this and think about what God wants. And so as you think about, how do you deal with those people who are disappointing you? The disloyal, those who fail, those who falter, those who just, they just don't quite, you know, they're just kind of messed up. We need to restore them gently. We need to help them back on the right path. But as we're doing that, we got to make sure we take care of ourselves and look at ourselves and who we are and what's going on in our lives. And really, it's not easy. It's not easy. I'm going to tell you what. You know, it's so much easier for me to see the faults in others than to see the faults in me. You know, I learned as a teenager, right? Remember it. I hope you never forget this. I learned it, and I praise God I learned it when I was young. Faults in others I do see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. All right? You know, and I mean, you know, I love that saying because it makes me step back for a minute and say, you know what? That's their battle. This is my battle. You know, I don't know what your battle is, but you put me behind a steering wheel of a car and we got a battle. All right? I mean, I know that. Yeah. And I kind of feel like Paul. I've prayed about, you know, Paul sits there and Paul says, you know, God, I got this thorn in my side. I got this problem. And God, I've asked you to take it away, and I've asked you to take it away, and I've asked you to take it away, and God didn't take it away. And Paul says, that's my way of keeping you humble. And it's like, okay, Gary, I'm going to make sure you stay humble when you get behind the steering wheel. I'm going to tell you some stories about that as we wrap up the message this morning, because God revealed something to me about that this week that wasn't nice. I didn't like it. You know how God does that sometimes? Yeah. And so as you look at people who are disappointing and people who just, you know, they just make those mistakes and they just fail all the time, you got to gently restore them, not judgmental. And again, I think there's a great difference. I think judgment is it's the truth, and the truth does the judging. Let the truth do the judging. Judgmental is when you decide what the consequences is. When you decide you're going to hold it over somebody's head. You know, that's judgmental. Now, don't think we don't do this. Anybody here married? Now, I'm sure those of us who are married, you have never held anything over your spouse's head, have you? Nothing. I mean, you know that thing they did 20 years ago? You know? You know, that you kind of stored away and saved for the right appropriate time? We need to think about those kind of things and those failures. Let's look at the last one. The last scripture. If your boss is angry with you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even greatest mistakes. You know, anybody ever been accused of something you didn't do at work? Tick you off? Yeah. You want to throw your hat in and say, just take this job and you know where to put it, right? I can't say it. Hopefully you don't either, all right? You know? Wait a minute, you know. I've made mistakes, and you're making one now. We just need to be quiet and listen. Let's move to the last point. The Bible says love keeps no records of wrong, so I don't repeat it, I delete it. Like I say, anybody have that storage chest of all the failures and shortcomings and maybe those comments? You know, you have that little thing in your mind. You know what I find is interesting? How many here are trying to memorize the Bible verses that we're giving out? I hope you are, all right? You know how many times I hear, I just can't remember those verses. I just can't memorize things. I hear that, okay? But I want to tell you something. How many of us have great memories of the wrongs that have been done to us, of those words that have been said? Am I meddling now? Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't remember this Bible verse, but I remember when my wife said, I can't remember this memory verse, but I remember when you did, that's been 30 years ago. We got to not repeat. You know, we repeat things. There's three basic ways we repeat things that are very, very destructive for us, okay? And so I want to spend a minute right here as we talk about this, because there's three ways that we repeat things. Look at this first verse here. Do not bear a grudge against others, but settle your differences with them so that you will not commit a sin because of them. You know, one of the ways that we repeat things is not with our mouths, it's in our head. We just keep running it. We got a tape recorder or an iPod in our head, and it just keeps replaying those words that they said. Da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. And I mean, it's like every time you see their face, you remember those words they said, right? Yeah. You just keep repeating it in your head. And what happens when it repeats in your head? Pretty soon you start getting what? You start getting angry. You start getting frustrated. You start getting mad. Because you just keep repeating that phrase they said, or that thing that they did, it just keeps repeating in your head. You go to bed thinking about it, so you wake up mad, because it just keeps repeating in your head. See, we repeat things like that. You know, we might not tell anybody, we're going to get to gossip in a minute, we might not do any of that stuff, but it runs through our head, and it keeps running through our head, it just keeps playing over and over and over and over. And what does it do to us? It destroys us. It destroys us. It really eats us up. Don't hold these grudges. I think what he's saying here is, listen, don't just keep letting this stuff play in your mind. You ever have things play on your mind? Are you like me, mindless? It just keeps repeating. We got to worry about that. If you're looking at how do you deal with people who are destructive, you know, they're going to say those things that just irritate. They're going to push you. They're going to destroy you. They want to hurt you. There are people out there that want to do that. How do you deal with that? You want to get even? Anybody here want to get even? See, that's me. That's my personality. My personality is, it's a game. You played your cards. I've got mine. You're not going to know when it's going to happen, but it's going to fall on you one of these days. That's my personality. I keep, you know, it's repeated in my head, and I just, you know. And what's fun is, you know, when you know, I can do things to make things hard, and you know, I can do aggravating things. Don't let it repeat in your head over and over and over again. If you just let that grudge set there, I guarantee you. Here's something I've learned in my life. You know what? If I'm angry and I got a grudge on somebody, more than likely they don't even know it. And if they did, they wouldn't care. Who's it hurting? Me. They don't care. And if it's hurting me, they'd probably be happy. Don't repeat it over and over. Delete it out of your mind. You know, push that delete button like on your keyboard at home. Just let it go. Let it go. Another way we repeat things in our mind, look at this next scripture. Love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. See, we repeat the words in that storage chest. It's like, you know, you get in a fight. Anybody been in you've had this little disagreement. You know, and you're having this disagreement, and you bring up something that happened 5 years ago. It's old news. It's something that happened 5 years ago. It's something that happened 10 years ago. But, man, you just bring it out. You pull it out of that storage chest and bring it up, even though it's old news. See, that's how we repeat things. We repeat them in our fights. It's like, now, yeah, you're saying that, but remember when you did. Anybody ever use words like that? Remember when you said, well, that was a long time ago. Well, that doesn't matter. You still said it, right? We need to delete those kind of words. We all have disagreements. We all have those times. But do we heap on all those kind of words, do we save that kind of stuff? Do we hang on to that kind of stuff so that when the right time comes, I can push that out there too? Look at what it says. Love forgets mistakes. Nagging about, does nagging ever work? Anybody here ever nag? You guys are really quiet when I talk about that. Does nagging ever get anything done? You know, harping on it over it. I heard you. Anybody? I heard you. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. It doesn't work. Forget the mistakes. Third way that we repeat things is called gossip. Look at this next scripture. Gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. Gossip is another way. You know what we try? Here's one I learned when I was in school. We try to build triangles. Because now I want somebody on my side. I'm going to tell you my side of the story, so you'll join my side. So now it's two against one. Right? Come on now. That's what we want. You know, we want to get friends on our side. And so we gossip about it because we want people to help us. I was right. See, you need to say I was right. Laura was wrong. I was right. Right? Come on. Yep, see, I got one on my side already. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. All right? We need to see that. We need to think about that in our lives because we do gossip about that kind of stuff. We repeat it to people over and over because we want allies. And what we got to do is we got to quit repeating. We got to learn to delete. There are destructive people out there. They want to destroy you. And you know what? They might not have to do anything if you just keep repeating it. Seriously, they might not have to do a single thing. They're done. They've laid the minefield. They laid the situation, and it's over. You just keep running it through your head. You just keep throwing it back. You just keep telling others about it. And you know who's getting hurt? You. We got to learn to delete the things in our life. And that's a challenge. See, as we look at all of these things, and you think about these people, the difficult people, the demanding people, the disappointing people, the destructive people. What are you going to do? You know, I gave you this little outline. Be tactful, not just truthful. Be understanding, not demanding. Be gentle, not judgmental. Don't repeat, but delete. I gave you all this. But what are we going to do? I mean, the world is full of, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to find it. It might be in the workplace. It might be in your own home. How do you deal with it? What are you going to do? I want you to look at this next scripture with me. If you are sensible, you will control your temper. When someone wrongs you, it is a great virtue to ignore it. Isn't there some wisdom in that? Blow it off. Don't go down that path. I like the title of the series, Let It Go. Let it go. You know, that sounds easier than it is to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? It sounds easy to let it go. Just blow it off. Let it go. Don't worry about it. Just, But it's so true. See, I want to tell you something. These things will destroy you more than it destroys anyone else, because it eats you up. It destroys you from the inside. And it kills you from the inside. And so we need to see that. So this morning, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted you to think about this morning. I want you to think about, what do you need to let go of? What in your life do you need to let go of? Look at this next scripture. When you are praying, if you are angry with somebody, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. I want to take some time this morning because I want you to think about yourselves as I think about me. I'm not just putting this on you. It's about me too. You know, like I said, God revealed some things to me this week that I really didn't want to hear. And I'm going to share that because we're in church and we come to be with God and we come into the presence of God and we want to worship God and we want to feel God's presence. But we come in and sometimes we have some things that we need to deal with. This week I was thinking about, I was driving, went up to Sacramento Sunday and had to go back up Tuesday. And I was on the freeway. And you know how I am when I drive. I've shared with you many stories. Yeah. That is not a good place when you want to see Gary's spiritual walk, okay? Yeah. That's a drive, so it don't have to be spiritual, right? I'm driving, I'm not walking. Yeah. No, it's a battle. But you know what God told me as I was thinking about that? Because I always blame I'm impatient. The moronic drivers, and I'm impatient. But you know what I realized? God told me this week as I was praying about the message and praying about all of this and what I needed to find forgiveness for. You know what God told me? God says, Gary, you're prideful. No, I'm not. Well, when I look at driving and I look at those moronic drivers out there, what I'm saying is this. If you could only drive as good as Gary, if you only drove like Gary, if you had the skills Gary had, if you were as smart as Gary was when it comes to driving, if you knew how to drive your car like Gary, we could sure go better. And God said here, I never thought about it. I always blame patience as my problem. I got a problem with patience. You guys know that. I readily. But God's sitting there going, Gary, you got a problem with pride. Oh, and I'm looking back there on the back wall, and there's a big word that says pride. Wild-caught pride. Thanks, God. Yeah. But he made me think about that. So this morning, I have a little paper for you. The ushers are going to give you a paper this morning. And I want you to take this little piece of paper, and there's printing on both sides, but I want you to look. Go ahead, and I'm going to have the ushers pass it out as you get the paper. I want you to look at the side that says, Love, Lord, forgive me of, at the top. So there's a piece of paper. It's printing on both sides, but I want to make sure you look at the side that says, Lord, forgive me of. I want you to think about this for a while. Matter of fact, I want you to pray about it. What is it that God is revealing to you? What is it in your life? Maybe there's something in your past. Maybe there's some garbage. Maybe something that's just been on your heart that you've been ignoring. Yeah. Maybe it's something new. What is it? Maybe it's something you did a long, long, long time ago that you've really never asked God to forgive you of. I don't know what it is, but what in your life that God needs to work on? Like I said, for me, when I first started thinking about it, I would have wrote patience. But now, guess what I'm writing? I got two things to write now. I got to write patience and pride because God says, I got to step back and realize, it's not just a patience issue when I drive. It's a pride issue. If you could just drive like I drive. So I want you to fill this out, all right? If you don't have anything, leave it blank. But if you don't have anything, you might want to read that bottom verse. All right? If you don't have anything, you might want to read that bottom verse. It says at the bottom, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What is it? I don't know. Maybe there's something in your past that's been weighing you down. This isn't just about now. Maybe there's something that the devil or Satan or the world has been using to kind of push you down and keep you down. Maybe it's an action that was 40 years ago that you just can't get over. That just keeps repeating in your head. This repeating delete thing kind of ties to this. I hope you see the tie. Maybe there's something that's just been gone on years and years ago that just keeps repeating in your mind. That's holding you down. That's keeping you back. Yeah. And so I want you to put something down there. I'm going to write something. I got a new pen. I found that I got a pen. Somebody gave me a nice pen set here, and I got a new pen I get to use. So I'm going to write something down. When you are praying, if you're angry with someone, forgive him. Your Father will forgive you. So what do you need to write for you? Then I want you to turn the paper over. I'm just using this verse. I'm just using God's word. This is about relationships. Now, I want you to notice how I wrote this real careful. Lord, help me forgive. I didn't say forgive someone. Lord, you got to help me, all right? I want you to write somebody's name down. If you have someone, maybe you don't. I don't know. But then I want you to write why. You know, a lot of times we forgive somebody, but we never forget what they did. You know what I'm saying? You know, we've forgiven them. It's like, oh, that's okay. It's past. It's gone. But for some reason, we just keep remembering what they did. And so I wanted you to not only write a name down, but I wanted you to write what they did. And so I want you to take a minute to fill this out. Am I being mean today? I got a cross up here. You know there's a reason. Yeah, I don't do anything by accident. So I want you to, is there something you need to write there? I think this verse is really important. When you are praying, if you're angry with somebody, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. I want you to write on both sides of the paper because this is what I want you to know. You know what? There is a direct relationship between both sides of this paper. Because if you can't forgive somebody of this, God can't forgive you of this. And it's not that God won't. He can't because you won't let him. Because see, when we carry those grudges, when we carry that garbage in our lives, it just keeps repeating. And we need to delete it. We don't understand, so we become judgmental. We don't become gentle. And so I wanted to challenge you to write this down. The bottom of your page, you see this scripture right here. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's the whole point of the message. You know, I didn't create a nice little ending phrase or anything. I just took God's word. And I want you to write this down. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to take it to the cross. I don't know. Maybe there's, again, my prayer this morning was that I know some of you here have some things in the past that's really eating away at you. It's just a burden, and it just eats at your heart, it eats at your life, and it's stopping you from taking your next step. And I want you to write that down. That's what this is about. But I also know we have people that, you know, I wrote a name down. That, you know, I really don't have a problem. It's really, they're the problem. Isn't that nice? You know? But I want us to think about this morning. And that's why I put it on one piece of paper, front and back. And I got the cross up here, and at the bottom of the cross is a paper shredder. And I want you to take this to the cross. Here's what I want to tell you. We're reading a book. I have some guys in the church. We're reading a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And it said something that I never thought about when it comes to forgiveness. When Jesus died on this cross, he suffered. He suffered. Anybody seen the movie? Anybody seen that, you know, what was that movie? The Passion? He suffered a little bit, didn't he? He suffered for forgiveness. Are we willing to suffer for forgiveness? You know, I'm going to forgive when they apologize. I'm going to forgive. Are we willing to suffer for forgiveness? Well, I'm not going to suffer my name. I'm not going to suffer my spirit. I'm not going to suffer my attitude. I'm not going to suffer being right. Because I was right. I'm not going to suffer being right. They were the wrongs that were wrong. They were the ones that were wrong. See, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to suffer for forgiveness? Maybe you got to apologize for something you didn't even do. You had nothing to do with it. You weren't even involved in it. But you got to suffer. And suck it up. And apologize. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to come down. Our invitation today, I'm going to be over here. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. I'm here for you. But that's not what it's about. It's about your forgiveness and your relationship with God and your relationship with one another. And so I just gave you these papers. You don't have to do it. You can do whatever you want. You can throw this in the garbage as you go out and say, Gary's crazy, he's messed up, and I would agree with you. I'm not going to argue with you. But what I want you to know is whatever you can put on here that's eating away at you, that's just stirring your, you know, maybe it's in your gut, maybe it's in your heart, maybe it's in your mind, and you just can't seem to get away from it, I want to tell you something. You can write it down and take it to the cross, and Jesus suffered for it to take it away. But I also want to ask you on the other side, do you have some relationships you need to suffer for? A relationship that maybe you weren't wrong, you were right, there was nothing there, you had nothing to do with it, but you need to reach out. This is your time for God to speak to you. And so this invitation this morning is to the cross. I'm here to pray with you. I'm going to be standing over here on this side, and I'm here to pray, and I'm here to share with you. But I want you to come to the cross. Anybody that wants to, you can. If you don't want to, don't do it. This is between you and God. And you want to know the truth? I don't care. All I care about is what God wants you to do. So I'm going to bow our heads, and we're going to pray. And maybe you want to pray this prayer. You can just repeat this after me if you want. This might be what you want to pray. Lord, I just thank you that you love me and that Jesus died on the cross that I can have forgiveness, that he suffered for me and for my sins. While I was still wrong, while I was far from you, he died for me. Lord, I thank you for that. And I ask your forgiveness. But Lord, I also know I need to forgive others. Lord, help me have a spirit of grace and mercy. Help me be not judgmental, but gentle. Help me be understanding and not demanding. Help me be tactful and not just truthful. And above all, Lord, as I bring it to the cross, delete it from my mind, delete it from my words, delete it from my life. For it's in your Son name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to ask you to stand. This is your time. If you need to fill this out, whatever you need to do, this is your time. I'm going to ask you to stand. And as God leads, you come as you pray. I'm here to pray with you. Whatever God does, this is your time. As we sing this song, will you make a decision about your life? Let's sing.